Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
And away we go with the Drex Radio Show, live and local in the Bay and around the world at KGORadio.com. And you can also download the app for free in the App Store, and we will KGO go where you go. All right, so it's a Pride weekend. It's just about here. It's about time. I feel like, I don't know, I've been feeling that I've been waiting all week for this to get here. And my guest this first hour, Jethro Paddlehug, do I have that right?
Paddlehug.
Paddlehug.
Paddlehug. Yeah, it's all right. Paddlehug. Everybody gets it wrong.
Paddlehug. And you were recently given the title of Mr. Gay San Francisco 2016-17.
Yes, that's right.
And you have quite a resume here with the documentaries. I love it. You're a winning filmmaker, award-winning filmmaker.
Thank you.
We'll talk about all those things. Mm-hmm. And Alex, you're the drag king.
There you go.
I love it. And so do you represent Oakland?
No, I come from Berkeley.
Oh, you come from Berkeley. Okay. Yeah. Well, close enough.
Yeah, East Bay.
Yeah, so we got a lot going on this weekend.
That's right.
So let me see. Should we start with you, Jethro? Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Pride and what's going on this weekend.
Well, I kind of have a special participation in Pride this year because I made five short documentaries that features some of the grand marshals for Pride this year. And I think
I saw you're doing that, yes.
Mm-hmm. It's very important work because this year Pride is kind of shifting gears and really highlighting the works of these grand marshals and, you know, putting attention to them because I think, you know, it's really important for people to know that there are still things that we need to fight for as a community.
Sure. Now, Alex, would you say that guns are one of them?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like it was just fairly apparent in the fact that we lost our brothers and sisters the way that we did in Orlando. And for me, I feel that we need to do something about the gun control in this country because my fear comes from that there may be some folks that just want to be, you know, very similar light of the gentleman that took out our brothers and sisters and do something else. And this coming Pride Parade with being almost 2 million people is really scary, but you know what? It's not going to scare us away. We're prideful.
Right.
We're fearless, and we've gone through so much hell in order to, you know, be who we are in life, and so we're not going to let anybody make us fearful.
So is that the expected crowd, 2 million?
That's what they were saying, yes.
Oh, my goodness. Because I've done it so many times, the parade in Chicago, and I always thought that was out of control when we were at 500,000.
Okay.
And a lot of fun.
And we would probably laugh at you guys at that point.
Yeah, okay. yeah, amateurs, right?
That's right.
Amateurs. Well, it's really interesting that you take that view on guns. So, you know, the Democrats were trying in the House last night, and they did the sit-in, and they were trying to get something going. But once again, that failed. But did it fail? Well, I can tell you one thing. Facebook streaming live and Periscope both set records last night for streaming live. Mm-hmm. So, you know, even though the House Republicans tried to shut down C-SPAN,
right.
Didn't work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I thought it was a shame that the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, called it a publicity stunt.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's disgraceful.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Publicity stunt and a way to raise money and da-da-da-da.
808-0810 is the number outside the Bay. It's 415 is the area code, 808-0810. So last night I had Nikki Stallard on, who she is a transgender person from the LGBT community, and she was a proponent of the NRA, and she is Republican, and she had very much a pro-gun stance with pink pistols, saying, you know, what was her line?
Oh, the pink pistols line is pick on somebody your own
caliber. Right.
That's right.
Wow. So she was making, you know, and boy, we got a lot of calls on this.
Oh,
it was insane.
Yep.
Her position was that if there's any group that should be armed to the teeth to protect ourselves, yes, that it should be the gay community.
Yep. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Agree? Disagree?
I totally disagree.
You do?
Well, the thing is that, I mean, on one side of the her issue, she was saying that, you know, if we were to have our guns in those kind of situations, then we can fight back.
Right.
Yes, we're moving targets in those kind of situations, but, you know, I just feel that having guns in that situation in the first place, being in a bar and having alcohol around would just be the wrong scenario.
Right. I think even the NRA admits that. So, right, yes.
So it's just one of those arbitrary debates where you don't know what to how to arm yourself or what to do in those kind of situations, but guns is just not the way. I mean,
yeah, just think
just
about
is not.
Just think about it. You know, if we're all armed in a bar and we're all drunk, you know.
No, it's bad.
It's just it's a non-debate for me.
Absolutely.
Right. But I think that, you know, well, even in states where you concealed carry or you can just carry, either one, you're not allowed to go into bars with these guns. But I don't know. I mean, her point last night was things that could happen anytime in the gay community. So why should we not defend ourselves?
And well, for me, it's not just I mean, right now it is an LGBT issue. Because of what happened to Orlando, but in the bigger picture, it is everyone's issue right now.
I totally agree. Mm-hmm. And if we all start doing it, then we might as well be back in the cowboy days and just shooting them up.
Well, to that point, which is really interesting about what I found last night, if you think about what's happened here in the past 20 years, the support for marriage equality has jumped from 30% to 60%, and many people have softened their attitudes about the gay community. And today, and this is one thing that we have on the NRA, is that, you know, when it comes to the LGBTQ community, is that we are actually an organization that, and we know how to make things happen.
That's
and
right.
And we know how to control movements so that we could actually do something about this. What are your thoughts?
Well, in my perspective as a filmmaker, I've researched the history of the LGBT community here in San Francisco. And having done that, I think there's still more fight in terms of educating people about our history and what we went through as a community.
Right.
And I think that should be a component in schools already so that people may be aware of our struggles and on how we've become as a community. If we forget about all the people that have died from our community, then history tends to repeat itself.
Sure. I mean, we go back to the days I was just looking. I mean, we could go back to it was only 2003 that before that, you know, gay sex was a criminal act. I mean, and that kind of shocked me reading this article and thinking 2003.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, that's, you know, only 13 years ago.
Right.
Yeah. So the struggle that the community has had to put up with and the persecution has been, you know, really something of, I don't know, it's an astounding thing that has happened, how we have transformed culture already.
Absolutely. And if you stop and think, most of us come from a social justice, you know, we have the ability to really push the social justice. And I'm getting a little emotional in the sense that, you know, we work really hard to be who we are in this society and to make sure that we are equalized and be able to be who we are without pushback from others who don't believe in our choices. And we do a lot of great stuff for our community and other communities. And we need to recognize that first, that we are incredibly good people. We have social consciousness and that we do much more for our communities than any other community that's out there.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. You know, the fact that we have transformed our own culture. You know, so moving forward, what do you think the fight is? I mean, where do we go? Specifically, I guess with the gun thing, I can tell you this. I was pleasantly surprised how Orlando came together and removed the gay element from the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as a filmmaker, I mean, did you see? Because let's face it, it's basically a red state most of the time.
That's right.
Yeah, and I thought that there was some backlash. You know, the Westboro Baptist Church came out and did their normal hate thing.
Hate thing.
Yeah.
Well, that's unfortunately, you know, if things had to happen like this, and in order for our community to really shine and, you know, get together and do something and, you know, make ourselves be heard. But I think in a bigger picture for me is that, you know, as long as the binary ideology is still the pervasive ideology that's dominating our systems, even in the educational system, I think that we will still continue encountering problems of hate and ignorance, in my opinion.
So when you say the educational system, you want this to be more transparent in the schools.
I think that it will be a great idea to teach our children as early as we can about the struggles of the LGBT community. And I think that our experience should be recognized as early as we can in schools.
Well, that's really interesting because they flat out ignore it now, don't they? I mean, certainly where I grew up in Pennsylvania, my God, no, it would never have been mentioned.
Well, it's pretty cool that we were in the Bay Area because schools like Harvey Milk Civil Rights Academy and the Castro, I mean, this is their primary educational platform is social justice and being able to teach as young as possible their kinder to fifth grade. They teach them how to, you know, move through this country and have their voices heard and to really stick up or either stand up for what you believe in.
Okay, I got to take a break and we'll be back. And we are talking about all things Pride this weekend and, forevermore. 415 is the area code, 808-0810. So the educational system here in the Bay Area and talking about the LGBT community. Yes, no, what are your thoughts? I mean, certainly the civil rights are now, that's being taught, and why not go for the LGBTQ thing? Okay, 808-0810 is the number, and we'll be back. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGOA10.
Won't give up on us.
And we have Alex Yu-In, who is the drag king here in San Francisco, and we also have Jethro Peddling Hug. But say it again for me, anyway.
That was correct. That was quite good.
Peddling Hug. I love it. Yes, and you are Mr. Gay San Francisco for 2016, 2017.
Yes.
Right. And also an award-winning filmmaker. And you do rap?
I do.
I love that.
I do.
Everybody has a lot of things going on here. Let me see. So we were talking about the gun thing, and last night I had Nikki Stallworth on, and she was transgender, and she was totally pro-gun. I think it was what was the line again? Pick on someone your own caliber. Let's go to Hans in Los Gatos. Good evening. You're on KGO. Hans?
Yes.
Go ahead. You're on.
I just wanted to make the point that the right to carry and the right to marry have a lot of similarities. You know, I don't care whether you're gay, straight, or whatever. You have a right to get married, right?
Yes.
And the right to carry firearms, if you are wanting to carry a firearm, you should have that right. And I don't feel it's morally correct for somebody else to make that decision for me.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for the call and the opinion. I appreciate you listening. So, you know, Alex, you feel very strongly about gun control and you're for it. So what are you thinking about as far as curtailment? I mean,
it comes close to home for me because I've had four nephews who committed suicide by their hand and with a gun. And guns that were locked up and in their home, and they got into it and took their father's weapons, and each one of them killed themselves.
Wow.
And so for me, it brings more emotional moment for me in the sense that I do not think that we should be carrying arms as if we're wearing a belt, because it's not as simple as that. And yes, if you have the mentality to be, you know, mature with that weapon in your hand, that's one thing. But when you have situations where your anger and your deceit for someone gets in the way, then we have another situation. And that's what happened to us in Orlando. And so I feel if you are competent with a weapon, one thing. But if you are there to just buying it to do evil, that's another thing. And how do you balance or manage that? if you don't have some sort of control, some sort of mechanism where someone can't just go and buy a gun and blow you up, and someone can't just walk in to their father's, you know, I was surprised that my brother-in-law's each situation had a gun in the first place, and it was that easy accessible for my nephew to take himself out.
And last night, again, to Nikki with the Pink Pistols, I mean, I could not even get her to commit to the no-fly, no-buy rule. And that seems so simple that it even has become somewhat of a nonpartisan issue in Congress. And I don't see a problem with that. It's mind-boggling to me that we can't even try to get that through. It's frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if somebody... They want to walk down the terrorist lane. My thing is, we can walk down both roads. So they want to say, well, we want to make it about terrorism, and then there is the other side who says we need more gun control. Well, I think we can run these two lanes together and merge in the middle, and it just doesn't seem that there's the will of the people in Washington to do that. I mean, they were definitely trying in the House last night.
Right.
I know the number says it as well. You know, I'm not sure of the actual numbers, but the deaths in regards to terrorism are far away, you know, deficient as compared to accidental deaths caused by guns. And going back to the question, I fundamentally, you know, I don't think that it's, if you compare marriage and the right to have a gun, it's just, you know, the other one is about a union and it's about love, and the other one is carrying a gun to kill someone else. It's again, it's a non-debate for me. And even with marriage, you need a license. You know?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay, well, let's move on, because I want to talk about, you know, you, as a matter of fact, your first feature documentary film, 50 Years of Fabulous, which chronicles 50 years of the oldest surviving LGBT charitable organization here in the United States. Talk about that.
Yes, that's actually the reason why I joined Mr. Gay San Francisco, because I wanted to promote that film. It's the 50-year history of the oldest charitable organization in the U.S. They are called the Imperial Council of San Francisco, which was started by a veteran. His name was Jose Saria.
Wow.
He was gay, and during a time when homosexual was illegal, and he made a stand and, you know, led a community, actually built a community that now has more than 70 affiliates all over the U.S. and as well as in other countries. So it's very interesting. I learned so much about the LGBT history in San Francisco, because they go way back. And, you know, I kind of chronicled them from the 60s up until now. And that includes what actually happened here in San Francisco.
And so what are some of the dramatic moments? So we were talking, you know, this. I've only been back to the Bay for a year and a half. So I'm trying to catch up on my history as far as, well, the Castro and
the
area.
The one thing that I could remember is that the death of Harvey Milk wasn't
right. Yes.
It wasn't an isolated case. There were 12 months before, prior to that, there was a series of murders involving gay people as well. So that did not happen on its own. And, you know, after what happened to Orlando, if I look back to what people were feeling then, it was like we were catapulted back to that kind of fear before, that we actually feared for our lives because we were being killed during that time. And that's and at that moment when I found out about Orlando, I cried because I felt that organic fear for my own life as a gay person.
Here we go again.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
In an instant, it's the same fear.
Absolutely.
And do either one of you have fear for all the pride parades that, we start this weekend in San Francisco and around the country we go?
When Orlando first happened and I first heard about it and saw it on the news, and then those of us who are part of the community that organize, the sisters, the mama boys, the California Marriage Initiative groups, you know, I actually was just so, my body was just so in shock that I just couldn't move. And it just felt like someone had just punched me in the gut, right?
Yes.
And so for organizing the vigil and working on that, it helped me get past the sadness I was in. But when I was by myself, I just sort of felt like, that this is real. It's scary. It has now put me in a situation where being queer in this country will never be the same. We'll always be fearful. I run a club night. I was torn with whether I was going to cancel my events and not put people in a situation where they could be in danger. And if something was to happen, then I would have to own that guilt. I then started seeking out and really hearing the voices of my brothers and sisters saying, no, we have to empower ourselves again to take back with our rights. And here we go again to stand up with fist in the air and say, we are here and we're queer. We're not going anywhere.
Have to drop that. the edit button. Okay, well, so we're going to take a break and we'll be back. But 808-0810 is the number. Yeah, I mean, I understand where you're coming from because it is a very powerful moment. Once again, it's like starting another chapter, I do believe. I think you're right about that. Okay, so we'll be right back. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGOA10 with a look at traffic. Here's Lee Graham. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show live and local in the Bay and around the world at KGOradio.com. It's Pride Weekend in San Francisco, and the magnificent event that it is even more significant this year. I don't know. It's just huge. And we've had many a struggle. Jethro Peddling Hug is my guest, and he is Mr. Gay San Francisco this year. And Alex Yu-In is the drag king. And we appreciate you very much coming in here live to the studio. And we were just talking about the importance of Pride this year. Now, we thought that it was going to be about bathrooms in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And look what happened, how quickly that changed.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we still haven't lost sight of that. You know, that's
right.
Still in our struggle.
It is. But it's really overshadowed with what
Absolutely.
Has happened. Let me ask you, what do you guys think about the fact that this murderer, this terrorist, was perhaps gay or struggling with his sexuality?
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel that, you know, he was suffering with his own demons.
Right.
And his culture that he lives in and the way that he was raised and even some of the things that his father said were very clear that he was afraid to be a homosexual and that he was afraid to be queer and he was afraid to get that backlash from his father. It was very clear to me when he came out of nowhere and said to his father that he hated seeing two men kissing. That gave me a big red flag right there.
Right.
Before it was even an inkling and of an idea that he may be queer. And then when they started coming out with the information that he visited different sites and that he was in that club before and that he may even have dated some folks that were either from the site or they met at the club, then it was all the picture was coming being was much clearer. And that I just wish that his anger was taken out somewhere else. But you know what? It also hits up against the fact that we have a lot of We need lots of services for mental health in this country. And who knows if he could have gotten that service around being true to himself and being able to be himself even in his strong culture of homophobia in some cases, then I think we'd have a whole different story. But there's those kind of stories transcend.
I totally agree with you. I think that there was a lot of self-loathing and self-hate that was going on and just fear and frustration. And you're right. I mean, you know, hearing from his father just was an atrocity.
Yeah. It
truly was. And you know, it just made me go back to think about the struggle of the personal, you know, if you just go to the person, the individual themselves, the struggle within to accept oneself for what they are.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And, you know, I want to take one step back. You know, I really had a hard time with the media immediately going to the fact that he was Muslim and really making this whole stance on and having such anti-Muslim rhetoric. And here's a guy that was born in the United States. He's an American. He made those choices himself. It wasn't about him being, you know, Muslim. And I just felt like the anti rhetoric that came out of that, just because I have many Muslim people in my life, and I was just really feeling for them, for the backlash for their choices as well. And my choice is my choice. Their choices should be their choices, and people should not be judging others based on the choices. And we as a gay community feel that the strongest.
Well, unfortunately, today SCOTUS, it got shot down. It was a tie with the immigration bill, and so it goes back to the lower court. And so President Obama had a bad day with that, and that march continues.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
I would imagine, Jethro, that you've been around the world, and I looked at your bio. You have history in Taiwan and Asia. Yeah. So
Taiwan, no. I grew up in the Philippines.
In the Philippines, I'm sorry. Okay.
And worked there up until I was 34 years old.
Oh, okay.
I've only been here for 5 years.
Wow.
And I've learned so much.
Well, give me some examples. That's got to be that's a hell of a transition.
The biggest that I've learned in terms of oppression and discrimination is racism. Mm-hmm. Because we didn't have that in the Philippines. But I immediately identified, because discrimination is discrimination. In the Philippines, we had class discrimination.
Okay, like a caste system, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Who's rich and the poor? Of course, when you're rich, you have all the accesses and opportunities, as opposed to when you're poor, then you don't have the opportunities like the rich people have. And I identified with that because I was poor in the Philippines, and my mom was a political activist as well. So coming here, I just had to refocus my attention to what I was experiencing. And in fact, I have experienced discrimination as well as an Asian gay person here in the Bay Area. And I just had to identify that. Yes.
Wow.
Well, it happens in our own community.
Yeah.
I mean, as an African American, mm-hmm. I've witnessed it in our own gay community.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not like just because we're queer, we don't hit up against some of the other society issues. I mean, we all have it.
I was just thinking of the old chant in protest marches: "We're queer, we're here, get used to it." I feel like we've got the first two parts down. Mm-hmm. We're queer, we're here, ..
Yeah.
And it's still within communities of color or people who they aren't living in San Francisco's gay bubble. You know, it's a lot to still take in and adjust.
I think that's why I think that the pride theme for this year is very important. It's for racial and economic justice.
I didn't know that was this year's theme.
That's this year's theme, and it's very important because it's identifying, it's highlighting the intersectionality of some of the experiences of within our community. That there is an experience, for example, as a black African American transgender who is poor. And that is a unique challenge in itself. And,
right.
Well,
I understand. And so it's very, very interesting to me that, when you speak about coming from the Philippines just 5 years ago and what you see is discrimination, mm-hmm. where it didn't exist over there.
At first, it did not. It was difficult for me to identify because it was overshadowed by all the accesses that I was experiencing here. All the simple things such as the Muni, that was already like a luxury for me because in the Philippines, it would take me 2 hours to get to wherever I needed to go. So I didn't see these discriminations per se as they came. But after being involved with the community and after interviewing people like Alex Yuen, I've educated myself well enough to realize that, oh, my God, that was actually discrimination. And,
That's right. Absolutely.
So what do you think some of the biggest struggles? I mean, do you feel as though, for instance, that one of the biggest things that has happened was the ability for the gay community to marry? And I can't help but think that some of this stuff that has been going on in our country now, to the bathrooms, which we were talking about during the break, we thought the Pride Parade this year would be all about bathrooms in North Carolina, but now it's about something else. But I just felt as though that whole bathroom issue was blowback from the Supreme Court decision.
Hmm. Tell me more.
Well, in other words, it was a nasty way at let's get even, let's get back to discriminating in the South. And then it started in Houston with the bathroom thing.
Well, it was an easy pick.
Yeah. I mean, because it was a ridiculous thing.
Yep.
Transgenders using bathrooms has never been a thing.
Yep.
Until it all happened and, you know, they started stirring the pot.
Well, I found it funny, and I don't remember which newscaster it was, but I was watching something online, and they were reporting, and he came back, and he said, I just had to go to the bathroom. So I asked the guard, can I go to the bathroom? And she said, that's the closest one. And he said, okay. He turned the corner, and it was a women's bathroom. So he came back, and he reported on that, and he says, you know, I find it odd that I was allowed to use that in this state, in North Carolina, and it was so easy for that guard to let me go ahead and use it. But yet, here is the fight
right
around the bathroom. So, and I thought, okay, well, hopefully now that you've experienced that, your voice can be a little bit stronger around what that means and start fighting for people, because it was very easy for you to go into a women's bathroom and to be able to come back out with no problem.
Right.
You know?
So it seemed, do you agree that it was sort of a situation made up for a problem that really doesn't or didn't exist?
Well, in that situation, it definitely was.
Right.
So it's just been blown so big out of proportion.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's just, where do we start? Like, how do we support people to do the right thing? You know, where's those healthy debates around, let's do the right thing, people? We have a social obligation when someone chooses a life that they want to lead to support them in that. That's their choice. We have nothing to say about that. That is their choice. So
we're going to take a break. We'll be back with Jethro, and he is Mr. Gay San Francisco 2016-2017, and Alex Yu In is the drag king, and we'll continue on the Drex Radio Show with a look at traffic. Here's Lee Graham.
The next generation of KGO 810. Now, back to the Drex Radio Show. Drex Radio Show.
You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810, and my guests are, Alex Yu In, who is founder of the Mama's Boys and Kingdom, and you won the Bestie Award. You are the Bestie Award winner.
I am a Best Drag King.
Best Drag King.
Yep.
And first African American.
That's right.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I was saying during the break, the drag king thing went right over my head. I don't know how all those years in Chicago, I didn't know about the drag king thing. Explain that to everybody.
Well, everyone knows what drag queens are.
Right.
You know, I'm assuming everyone knows in your radio world what drag queens are. But drag kings are the opposite of drag queens. We do male impersonation, and our goal is very much the same. It's very social justice, tent to it. And we want to be able to give back to our communities, just like our drag sisters do. And with Kingdom, the reason I started Kingdom is because, one, we didn't have a drag king house in San Francisco, and there was no really true places for drag kings to perform in San Francisco. We have a couple other places in the East Bay. And we were always on the skirt tails of our sisters. And so I decided, well, let's just put it out there, and let's find a place, and let's make Kingdom happen. And we can start doing our own fundraising and start really doing the social justice work that we need to do in this community and be able to, you know, uphold the whole definition of what drag is and what drag does and what drag gives.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. So, and that place is where, in San Francisco?
Well, we were at the Beatbox. Okay. We were at the Beatbox, but the Beatbox is being sold, unfortunately, and we are not grandfathered in, and so therefore we're looking for a location right now. But we've gotten some offers, and we're just trying to make some smart moves so we don't have to make a change again.
Right. I mean, with my next guest, Voss, coming in here, we're going to be talking about some of the things that are going on in the city with the gentrification.
Absolutely.
You know, the diminishing aspect of that, I'm sure you've seen it just in the 5 years that you've been here.
Definitely, yes. I have seen it, in fact.
And I think, you know, clubs closing, especially queer clubs, produced and owned clubs closing is a product of that. You know, I'm sure Brian, hey, Brian, if you're listening, you know, thank you for all the years that you gave us in your club at Beatbox. And I'm sure he didn't want to make this change, but because of where, you know, things are in San Francisco and it's hard
it's
to
insane.
Really be here, it's crazy.
Yeah. Now, I don't know what's happening specifically with the gay community as far as housing is concerned, but, I go back to Chicago for a second. What happened there was not so much tech companies, but just families moving in and expanding, straight Absolutely. Families moving in and driving people out. That's sort of the breakup of what's going on in Boys Town, Chicago. Mm-hmm. And here, I guess it's just, the rent for everything is $20,000 or $40,000 a month. And who in the hell can afford that?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually quite very sad because the people who have actually built the LGBT community to where we are right now are actually the ones who are gentrified. I don't know if the statistics, if I could still remember it right, 30% of homeless people are actually LGBT people. And 50% of that are people above the age of 50. So that means those people are the ones who are actually here during the gay revolution. They are the ones who actually built the community here in San Francisco.
Wow, that's really interesting.
So it's really, really sad because these demographic, they are the ones who survive HIV and AIDS. They are the ones who left their families because they were being thrown out from their immediate families from somewhere else in the country and came here to build community, and now they're being gentrified. So that's a really sad story.
And on the flip side of that is our youth. And so the other percentage of that, high percentage of that, is our youth and our queer youth and our transgender youth. Mm-hmm. And they are also living in the streets.
Yep.
And so, we have an issue that we are not really doing a deep enough dive to really make sure that we can take care
now,
of it.
Now, I don't feel as though City Hall is. Now, here's the article from today from the Chronicle. Mm-hmm. So, tent city law headed to ballot in San Francisco. Yes right. or no? What are you going to do with these people? I mean, there's a responsibility.
There's something that they did do to these people. They picked them up, gave them tickets, and told them to go somewhere else. And I
threw away
Berkeley.
Whatever positions they had on the street.
Absolutely. And just came in. And they give them 24-hour notice. And, and just evict them for the only home that they know.
It's horrible.
There's actually a video of them picking up all those tents and dumping them in the garbage trucks.
Yeah, like there's no value.
Mm-hmm. It was horrible during the Super Bowl mm-hmm. situation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If you come over to Berkeley and you look and you do any of our exits, whether it's Gilman or whether it's University or it's Ashby, you will see that this is where people have migrated to.
That's right. I'm in Berkeley all the time and mm-hmm. I see it. Yep. Yep. And it's a shame.
And there was rumor, and I don't know how true it is, that the city of San Francisco gave people tickets and money to get out of the city, especially during the Super Bowl and to vacate.
I thought that
was
horrible.
So no one would see. And most of them come into our open arms in Berkeley, but there's not a lot that we're doing either. And we should be ashamed of ourselves, too.
Even the religious community, God bless them, even that is not what it was. The homeless do cannot turn to them or to the churches really anymore.
Well, if you stop and think.
Valerie.
Actually, I happened to book next Wednesday. We have a couple guests coming in from San Francisco Night Ministry, mm-hmm. and they work with the homeless on the street. But there's also the guests that I'm bringing in work with another community organization, which is, I know of it, at least two churches, but it's only like a handful, two that do leave their doors open during certain hours for the homeless. That used to be the traditional sanctuary, and we don't have that anymore.
All right.
And it circles back to the fact that they can't afford to be in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even those of us who are employed can't afford to live in San Francisco.
I'm talking about the churches.
Yeah, no, yeah. No kidding. God bless you all. Okay, Bestie Award winner, Best Drag King, Alex Yu-In, thank you very much from Kingdom. And Jethro Peddling Hug, thank you very much, sir. I do appreciate your time.
It's a pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to be
thank
here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, and happy Pride.
Happy Pride.
Carry
everyone.
On.
Happy Pride.
Okay. Happy Pride. Okay, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back on the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10.
Progressive presents Mind Flowness with Flow.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.